I desire y'all's prayer. Have a little thought on something. I'm going to talk about dress today, but not maybe in a way we're used to thinking about it. Not going to talk about any particular dress, but I want us to think about what God might be thinking or would like for us to be thinking about when we get dressed. So just a little different spin on it. It's something that I think, for me, it's been a challenge to consider the Lord. Getting dressed is something we all do. Most of us wouldn't think of starting our days without it. And it seems so almost mundane that you would almost think, well, what's the Lord have to say about it? But I'd like for us to start off in Numbers. Numbers chapter 15, starting in verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And looking at this, so here the Lord is telling the children of Israel that he wants them to put fringes on the borders of their garments and a ribbon of blue. And that ribbon of blue had a purpose. There was something that he wanted them to do with it. Now, I found it interesting. Blue, generally in the Old Testament, if you look at colors and what they are generally used to represent, blue generally represents heaven, God, or healing. So God wanted them to put a fringe with this blue ribbon on their garments so that when they would get dressed, there were some things the Lord wanted them to consider. One, he wanted them, when they were getting dressed and seeing these ribbons and these fringes, he wanted them to remember all of his commandments. That was something that their getting dressed was supposed to take in. He also wanted them to remember they shouldn't be following after their own hearts and their own eyes. That this was not, they weren't to dress for themselves, they were to dress for the Lord. And also that we were to be a holy people. That God is our God and he desires us to be holy. And so the challenge that the Lord put in my mind, when we get dressed in the mornings, when we're putting on our clothes, are we thinking about how we dress in a way that would remind us of the commandments of the Lord? Are we considering that? When we get dressed in the morning, does it cross our minds as we're putting on our clothes that, Lord, help me to dress in a way that I'm going to be ready for the commandments that I'm supposed to follow? To dress in a way that it'll help me keep control of myself? To not follow my own heart and own eyes? That I'll be looking to follow you today, Lord? And also to dress in a way that says, Lord, I'm trying to live holy before you. Have you ever considered that when you get dressed in the morning, that's what the Lord desires? He desires you to fully consider what are you getting dressed for today? Us men folk, I don't know about you all, but if I'm going to go out and work on my tractor, I'm going to dress differently than if I'm going to go out and work at the office. Two very different sets of clothes. If I confuse them, Diana's quick to let me know. She doesn't like cleaning grease out of the nicer clothes. But, do we think about that in our lives when we dress for the day? Lord, I'm about to go out into the day you have given me. Let me dress appropriately. I'd like to flip on over now to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So as we notice here, this first part of this passage talks about things that we're to put off. We're to put off the old man. Some of the things called out are anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying. Those are the things that we should put off. But then we're to put on other things. Love, tender bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving, charity. These things we're supposed to put on. And the reason is down in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And I was thinking about all we do in word and deed. If you listen to that list of things there, of what we're supposed to be doing to put on the new man, a lot of that dealt with life. If you have a quarrel with people, forgive them. But I was thinking word and deeds. Isn't getting dressed in the morning one of our deeds? When we get dressed, when's the last time, and like I said, this is a challenge for me, that we've consciously stopped and thought, Lord, am I dressing today in a manner that would show that I dressed in your name? That I was conscious when I put on my clothes that I was going to dress in a manner pleasing to you. It's been a challenge to me to stop and think. I mean, sometimes I think we just get habitual. You know, we this is the way I always dress. But wouldn't the Lord love us to get just a little more closer to him on that? I'd like to flip on over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here we're told again that there's this putting on and taking off. Now this is referring to spiritual attributes. But have you ever noticed sometimes that your literal physical life can impact your spirit? That the way you go about life impacts things, your attitudes, and I'm going to say your dress can impact things? You know, if we're putting on the new man, should we be dressing like the old man? I mean, how many times have you seen someone that starts professing to be saved, following the Lord? And generally, if you watch them over time, it often doesn't happen overnight, but if you watch them over time, you'll notice changes. You'll see changes in the way they dress. You'll see changes in the way they speak, the way they talk. I would challenge us to consider, when we get dressed in the mornings, we're starting the day. Are we putting on the right thing? Are we dressing for the day the way the Lord would have us? Moving over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Thinking of this, the Israelites were to dress differently. And throughout the history of the Israelites, they were to kind of separate themselves. You know, we are the temple of the God. And as the temple of God, we shouldn't be touching unclean things. How many remember the story of the Israelites going up to Ai the first time? You know, they defeated Jericho. Ai is a small little town. So we don't need to take as many men. We'll just go up there. We'll quickly take care of this little town, come back and start planning our next conquest. Well, they go up against that town, and they didn't take that town. They got severely defeated. Joshua laid down on his face before the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. What did we do wrong? Did we mishear you? And the Lord told him, get up. There's sin in the camp. Why are you laying down? You need to go take care of the sin in the camp. Do you all remember what things Achan had taken that caused this? The very first thing in the list, a goodly Babylonian garment. Clothing. Sometimes we act almost like God doesn't really care that much about the clothing we have. But a goodly Babylonian garment and some silver and some gold. That was the sin of Achan. How much of an impact did that garment have? Did it just impact Achan? No. It impacted Achan's whole family. They died. It impacted the men that had gone up to do the battle at Ai. No doubt some of them died or were wounded if they weren't killed. You don't lose a battle without taking a bruising. And so I would ask us to ponder as we consider dress from that angle of what does the Lord want. Have we ever considered the impact of the unclean things that we allow in our lives? The things that we say, well, I'm strong enough, that won't hurt me. But have we thought about what that impact might be to our brother or sister who's not as strong? And they look at what we're doing and they say, I know it's not supposed to be right. But brother and sister so-and-so is doing it or wearing it. And I really would like to. How far will the damage go? Just because we're not careful to say, Lord, what would you have me wear? The Lord had been very clear. Don't take anything of this city. Clothes, nothing. It's all an abomination to me. It's all accursed. A goodly Babylonian garment. Turn it on over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 23. Starting in verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Thinking of this, our world today, a lot of the Christian communities in the world, they like to go to the saying that it's what's in the heart that matters. That's where the Lord looks. He doesn't consider the outward part of man. Do you think the Lord doesn't ever look at the outward part of you? I think the Lord looks at all of us. He does look at the heart. It is possible, as called out there in verse 25, it is possible to clean the outside, to clean it up and live to every standard the church teaches and not be right internally. That is possible. But, he said, if you're trying to really clean up the inside, the outside will come clean. You can't convince me that you can live a life with a clean heart on the inside and the outside never show any effect. I would like to challenge us with a thought right real quick. So if I went into a restaurant and I had a glass of water I'm going to serve you all, and it's clean inside, but there's a big old lipstick smear out here on the outside of the glass, would you all want to drink it? I don't see too many people looking like they would. Why not? It's clean on the inside. That should be perfectly fine, right? What if you picked up the fork in the restaurant, and while the tines and where you eat is clean, there's just food all stuck to the handle? Would you be like, well, just wrap the handle in a napkin, you can still use it? No, everybody would be like, no, I'm going to get the waiter over here, or waitress, and I'm going to tell them that this needs to be replaced. It's not acceptable. Even though the part that we say is the important part is clean, we really want the whole thing to be clean. Don't you think the Lord wants that from us? That He wants to look at our lives and say, you know what? You're clean on the inside. I really appreciate that. And you're coming clean on the outside. Keep up the good work. I would also challenge us to consider the fact that when we get dressed in the mornings, tomorrow morning, every one of us will get dressed. And unless you're just having one of those wonderful, lazy, vacation-y type days where you don't need to do anything right away, chances are you're going to get dressed at some point for the day. I would challenge all of us, consider the Lord. And when you get dressed, think about, am I dressing in a way that helps me remember Him? That helps me to stay focused on Him, to put Him above my thoughts, my desires. And it also helps me to live holy before Him. Y'all pray for me.